Blog Talk Radio.
The Heavenly Father, we come unto you right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come unto you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence today. God, we come unto you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence today, God. God, we ask Lord to move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. God, I yield myself to you right now, God. Move me out of the way, God. But God, you come in, you minister to the heart, the mind, the lives of your people right now. In the name of Jesus, and say about everything you stand for. Remind every distracted spirit, remind every hindering spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, any spirit that's like the devil, we cast them out right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank the Lord for free course right now, God. Glory in the name of Jesus right now, God. Do what you do best. Let's be God right now. In the name of Jesus, and we thank the Lord for the testimony, God. We thank the Lord for the revelation, God. Thank the Lord for the healing and the deliverance right now. In the name of Jesus, and we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. Come on, God, to pass to the LA later. I'm going to get home. Those that know me, I'm at home. Okay. Even if I'm among strangers, I'm in longer than God's house. Amen. I'm in the right house. Amen. But we're going to go to Genesis, the 19th chapter.
All right.
Genesis, the 19th chapter. We're going to start at the 12th verse. I thank God for everyone here. I thank God for the daily family.
Amen.
Thank God for Jemiah being here with us. Thank God, like all of them mentioned, thank God for everyone being here. Thank God for the business and also the members being here. Genesis, the 19th chapter, and we're going to go to the 12th verse.
Amen.
Those that have it, say, I have it.
Okay.
I'm going to read 12 through 15, and I'm going to jump to 17. And after I read 17, then I'm going to go down to 23. Starting at the 12th verse, I'm going to read from the New King James verse. And it reads like this. It says, then the men, talking about the angels, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, or whomever you have in the city? Take them out this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. For the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, Get up, get out of this place. For the Lord would destroy this city. But to his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. In other words, they didn't take him seriously. 15 says, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. Going down to 17. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life. In other words, saying with emphasis, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. But instead of going to the mountains, Lot begged the angels and then go to a small city named Zoar. Lot found favor with God and was able to go to that small city. Now going to 23. 23 says, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plains, all the inhabitants of the city. That means everything was destroyed. And what grew on the ground, this is the key verse, verse 26, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, because of the sin and the wickedness of the town of Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent two angels to warn Lot to take himself and his family and leave immediately. The son-in-law didn't believe Lot, and they stayed. When it was time to go, they were instructed to immediately go. Run for your life. Quickly. Hurry up. Do not look back. God often uses brimstone and fire for judgment and purification. So here, God uses brimstone and fire from heaven to destroy the city. Yes. The fire from heaven, or what we would consider lightning.
That's right.
Lightning combined with the sulfur that was on top of the mountain.
Right.
That sulfur with the fire caused a flammable and also a toxic smell. That would destroy, not just a physical destroyer, but also if you inhale, it would kill you. But as Lot and his daughters were running, Lot's wife looked back from behind him. The Hebrew word for looking back is more than just turning over your shoulder. The Hebrew word means to consider. To pay attention, to focus on. In other words, she focused on what she was attracted to.
Right.
What was really what she wanted. What she really wanted. And she became a pillar of salt. Mm-hmm. Now, what we know as a pillow is actually a statue. A statue, a landmark. You think about the Statue of Liberty. Anytime someone that's an immigrant, when they cross over to the United States, they look for the Statue of Liberty. It represents America. It represents freedom to a lot of immigrants. And she became a pillar or a statue of salt. What does salt do? What do we know about salt? It preserves it.
That's right.
In other words, because of her disobedience, she was consumed and became a product of her environment. Now she's a permanent reminder. She's a statue to remind the people when they go into that town. She's a reminder that you do not disobey God. She's a constant reminder, and it still stands to this day. And there is no life that lives there. That's by the Dead Sea. So if you want to go to Luke, you can write this down. Luke 17, 29 through 32. They will tell you that she is a constant reminder. Even in the Bible, she's a reminder to all of us about disobeying God. But now we're going to bring it up to today's time. Today's message is entitled, Leave What You Love. Because what you love don't love you.
Wow.
Leave what you love. Because what you love Has anybody ever been in a situation where you're in a relationship with somebody and you're giving them your all? You're paying for the dinner, you're romancing them, and you ain't getting nothing back in return. My Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you remember? Oh, okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Many of us have been in that kind of situation. But what we got to think about this. Have you ever loved something or somebody and you know that it was good to you, but it wasn't good for you?
That's right.
There are many people that are going against the doctor's orders, eating pork, continue to smoke, 7 or 8 carts a day. There are so many people. They love ice cream. They love milk. But they're lactose intolerant.
That's right.
They love it. But their body is rejecting it. And what happens? We all human beings. It's natural occurrence. Anytime you physically taste something that your body rejects, it's gonna come out, or come up, or come out.
Right.
It's gonna come up this way. I'll come out that way. It's a natural thing. I found out, I don't drink alcohol, but I found out you can drink as much alcohol and don't you know it actually comes out of you? It comes out of your pores. You can pee it out all you want, it's still going to come out of you. I don't care how much perfume or cologne that you put on, it's still going to come out. And don't you know there are some people, they smoke. I ain't talking about cigarettes either. But they smoke. They smoke when they break. And they go to their car. And they go to their job. Mom, take your order. Take a shower. And brush your teeth and chew some gum. Because you got what you put in you is coming out. But the thing is, there are things that we take that's actually fighting against our bodies. They can be food, drink, smoke, and some other things we'll talk about later on. But we have to think about what is life. Life requires of something that we have to make, no matter how big, how small, how old, how young you are. Life is all about choices.
That's right.
There are benefits and consequences to every choice that you make. But in order for us to really understand the healthy choices that we make, we have to first understand who we really are.
Right.
And one of the things I always want us to understand as people, human beings, there are three aspects of man.
That's right.
There's the body, the physical body. Mm-hmm. Five, six, touch, taste, smell, touch, hear, smell, sight. That's the physical body. But also, eventually, because this physical body is here for us to operate in this physical world.
Right, that's right.
But that's not the real us. That's actually a uniform that God has placed for us on this physical world. But the real us, even if someone tries to kill this body, it may be destroyed.
Right.
It will be destroyed. The physical body, but the real us is never destroyed.
That's right.
The soul. And the soul is the canister of what's in us.
That's right.
The spirit. We are spirit beings.
Right.
We are spirit.
Right.
We're not a spirit. We are spirit. We are spirit beings. That's the reason why our physical body is gone. No matter how much you exercise, and you get all your physical body wears out. But your soul and spirit does not age.
Right.
Have any of us have
thought about, you know what, I used to jump rope when I was a kid, and I'm 50 years old, I'm doing it here, and you're trying to go back. You know, or I remember, I used to get up, I'm not too old, but I remember I used to get up real fast and just walk. But now, all the time is coming, and it seems like each morning I get up, there's something more that crack a little bit when I'm getting up. I'm like, wait a minute now, somebody must have adjusted the bed. Because if something is not making rest well. But now, Brother Jones, that's all the time. He lets you know that you're getting older. I'm not old, but older. Or I would call
Steve.
But what I found out, no matter how season you get, you get one day closer to your permanent destination.
That's right.
When the pilgrims traveling through this barren land. And there's an assignment that God has for us while we traveling on this barren land. In other words, each and every one of us has an assignment and a task that God has instilled within us. Every one of us. Now, unfortunately, we don't know when our time is up. And what I found out, each and every one of us have a different time. This is what I found out. There are people, matter of fact, we have an uncle. Uncle Paul. He just died last week. He was Paul. And he died at the age of 98.
Wow, that's good. I mean, that's good.
He lived, as one said, expected life. But there are other people, there are babies that are born and die at an infant age.
They had
nothing to do with their death. The parents had nothing to do with it. It was a natural cause. But get this, Uncle Paul, 98, and that infant baby. If you look at it, and even though he lived to be 98, there may be some things that he did not do that God commanded him to do.
Right.
Even at the age of 98. But that baby that might have passed at an infant age, don't you know that baby lived its full purpose?
That's right.
We don't know what God's purpose was for that baby. Now, like I said, we talking about something that it happened and it was no influence or no crime that happened.
Right.
There was something that's called infant crib death.
That's right.
That happened. And don't you know, even though, as heartbreaking, we had expectations of that child. But even though we had expectations, they lived their full purpose in life.
That's right.
So, and let you know that no matter how young or how old that you are, each and every one of us has an assignment.
That's right.
But the key thing that God wants us to fulfill the purpose and plan that he has for us. God wants us to. But the devil does not want us to.
Right.
So that's why it's very careful for us to be able to understand who we are, so that way we can understand who's speaking to us.
Yeah.
What spirit speaks to you?
Right now, we're going to look at the spirit and the soul. Mm-hmm. Now, the spirit right here, it has senses also. Mm-hmm. But this spirit is not the Holy Spirit.
No.
You have a spirit. Show me this. Does anybody here can sleep? Has anybody else been asleep and you just enjoying yourself? You just knocked out. First of all, you rest your physical body. But while you sleep, you can be dreaming that all of a sudden you just started dreaming that you're falling. And you wake up before you hit the ground. Anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
The fifth seal slip, and if you fall, you're going to die.
Right.
Think about it. If anybody ever fell, died, and they came back and tell you, hey, look here, if you hit the ground, you're going to die. No, that's something to bring terror.
Right.
That's something to bring fear upon us. But the key thing is, we as human beings, we are only creatures that God created that have they have a spirit, but also we live in two different worlds.
Right.
At the same time.
That's right.
No animal have what we have.
No.
We have the spirit of God living in us.
Right.
The spirit that came from God, when God breathed the breath in the nostrils of Adam, we became a living soul or a living being.
Right. That's right.
And our intent that God had made for us is to never die.
Right.
Never die.
Right.
But because of sin brought death.
Yes.
Sin brought separation from God.
Right.
But because of the seventh Adam, Jesus, when we accept Him as Lord and Savior only in our lives, now we have been redeemed. We have salvation.
Right.
But our spirit, right here, right below your navel, you know, we always say, like I said, good feeling. You know, you know what? I knew it was something crazy about that girl. I knew it was something. I didn't trust him. You know, I just had a gut feeling. You know, okay, well, because God will speak to you right here. But where would the devil speak to you at?
Up here.
Right here.
That's right.
That's the reason why whenever we read, whatever we think about, whatever we see, what happens? We mentally try to agree with it.
Right. Right.
And we're wrestling with what the devil is saying versus what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're compromising and we're listening and accepting what the devil is telling us up here.
Yeah.
But God wants us to recite, to say what He said. God wants us to recite not only what we see, but like I said, what He said, what He promised. So with that being said, the soul, the spirit of a man, the real us, is at war with our flesh. It's at war. There are some things that we know that we should do.
Mm-hmm.
We do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that we know, but you know what? I know the Bible says, oh, we know, but I still want to do it. Oh, how do you say, well, you know, the flesh gets weak.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we all fall short.
Oh, that's right.
One of my dear friends, Sheila, she's always saying, well, I'm still under construction, so excuse my dust. But we have to think about it. These are the things that we wrestle with. And our flesh is telling us to do something that God's spirit is telling us don't do. So we have to understand, like I said, we live in two different worlds at the same time. There's a physical world. We in Dallas, Texas. We are true believers. But there's a spiritual world that God is signaling us what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere. And that's why God is alerting us, because God can tell us when dangers are coming. God want to tell us. God trying to forewarn us, but a lot of times we're not listening. We out of place. Sometimes God tells us, but we feel that, well, you know, I can handle that situation. The flesh and the spirit is at war with each other. And a lot of times, what makes us listen to our flesh? There is something that I thought about that hit me that really made me think about what makes us listen to, that flesh? What makes us listen to or even compromise what the devil wants to tell us? There is something, it's an H word in our head. Hurt. some form of hurt. The result of hurt make us become selfish. The result of hurt make us do something that's outside of God's will. What does hurt do? A lot of times, may not be in this order, but hurt produces something called fear. Fear. It may be the fear of the unknown. It may be the fear of trusting somebody. It may even be fear of trusting God.
Yes.
Fear may even be, well, you know what? I've been hurt before. I don't want to be hurt again. And like I said, many people, because of the hurt of man, they're scared to trust man and trust God. Why? Because especially somebody that's been hurt within somebody that's in the church. Because these represent Christ. And a lot of times, we end up trusting people, the wrong people, within a church, and we think that every church member is like this. And now, because of the hurt is so bad, I don't want to deal with it again, so I'm not going to trust nobody. You hear that? I'm not going to trust nobody. No, I'm not going to do it. No, no, no. And what happened, now the seed of fear has set in. You have received the spirit of fear. And as fear happens, what happens with fear? Fear makes you become selfish. And out of the selfish, sometimes, because when a person is selfish, what kind of spirit do they carry sometimes? Deception. Because by any means necessary, they're going to protect themselves. They're going to look out for their own best interest. And also with that deception, what we realize is that when people are operating in hurt, they begin to hurt others. In other words, they become like the people that have hurt you. But what can counsel that hurt? Forgiveness. Some people say, well, you know, it's easy to say it done. That's one of the craziest words or statements I hear that we as believers say.
Yeah, say that.
The Bible tells us all things are possible
for
him that believes.
That's right.
The key thing is that you want to forgive.
Yeah, that's right.
But we got to understand what forgiveness looks like. If somebody hurt me and they stole my money, they asked for forgiveness, and then come back to my house,
you are right on it.
If I leave my money for them to steal and I leave the room, I can forgive them, but I feel a fool if I leave that money there. When people get saved or when they have backslid and got back into Christ, you got to be real careful. That's when the people try to talk to your ears.
Right.
Because they know that you're vulnerable. And you know, but I ain't going to do nothing. Hey, look here. You know, you got to forgive. So that means God says to forgive.
Right, yeah.
So if somebody was in a place and they have abandoned their trust, you give them their forgiveness, but you don't give them your trust. There's an old saying that people say, well, you know, respect got to be earned. Have y'all heard that? Respect got to be earned. Y'all heard that? That's false. Respect don't have to be earned. Respect is given automatically. You go to the White House right now and you say something disrespectful about the president, I guarantee you, somebody's going to be putting money on your books and talk about your incarceration.
That's right.
Respect is not earned. Respect is given automatically in spite of who that person is.
Right.
You respect the position.
That's right.
You respect the authority. And when you respect the authority, it leaves room for people to respect you. But you give the respect to people.
Right.
But trust gotta be earned. Trust has to be earned, not given. And where people mess up at, they make people earn their respect, but they give their trust.
Trust, right.
That's where and why we get hurt a lot of times. Because we say, because I'm trying to be like Christ, so God, you told me to forgive, and so I'm going to forgive that person, and I know that boy cheated on me, and he ain't my husband, but I'm going to give him another chance. So I'm going to forgive him, and I'm going to let him have my heart one more time.
You ain't married. You messed up.
And I realized that he ain't changed.
That's right.
You never give somebody something as far as trust. You never give somebody something when there's no change. And even if there's a change, you got to watch the level of maturity. Yeah.
Right. There you go. There you go.
Now, I'm not knocking the younger people. Mm-hmm. Because the younger people ain't always the problem. Mm-hmm. It's the older people. A lot of times, it's a lot of the older people, they should be seasoned to minister, to talk to the young people,
right,
to educate them,
right,
and have them under their wing.
Yeah.
But because of their hurt that's going on even within the church, what happens when the young lady that come in with one or two kids and she's single, instead of the mother talking to her because she may not have had a mother, a biological or a spiritual mother to help her. But also, you don't know her circumstances.
Right.
You don't know if she was raped or not.
Right, right.
But because she may be carrying a child, look at her. Oh, that dress too short. Oh, she just needs to get saved. No, you need to go to the store and buy her some stuff and run her and talk to her. That's one of the major problems because we have so much of a gap.
Yeah, that's right.
Within the body of Christ. And there's nobody ministering to the younger. And a lot of times the younger people, they're curious, they're seekers of God. But there's nobody there in place to talk to them about how to bring the word of God into their own life. But like I said, there are consequences and choices. But see, what I found out a lot of times with the consequences happen when we do the wrong thing. But a lot of times, we don't think about the full consequences before we get ready to do something. Those that know me, y'all mind me being transparent, right?
No.
Okay. We don't count the cost when it comes down to consequences. Now, years ago, when I was in my teens, I did something I wasn't supposed to, I was fornicating. I was having sex before marriage. And this one young lady, she was cute. I asked her, I said, do you want me to use a condom? And she said, well, if you don't want no Shaniqua or the blah, I'm like, wait a minute. She already has the name picked out. And it made me think, if you don't be careful, and you end up, you thinking you just gonna have a good time for a few minutes, but she had already thought about the full consequences of, you know what? I got the name picked out. I know when you work at. You will be on child support. And I will stalk you for the rest of your life. And I was like, wow, now that made me grow up fast. And a lot of us, if we just be real, a lot of us in that same situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I don't mind being transparent because I want people to know that y'all may see me right here behind the pulpit, but I want to introduce you to the person before the pulpit. So that way, you can help you there to get to the altar.
Right.
So that's why it's important for us to think about the full consequences of every action that we do.
I can easily go into Brother Layden's house, I can see his house and be like, you know what, Sister Sherry and Brother Layden is not at home, their car is gone, they leave at 2:43 every day, so I can go in there, I can get what I need, they're going to be gone for 15 minutes, I can get what I need to leave on out. So as the car leaves, I make my run, go to the window, I go in the living room, get some stuff, and then I go to the bedroom and I see Sister Sherry right there with that gun. I get shot. Now, I just thought the worst that could happen was for me to leave with something that I could just hold in my hand and make a quick dash. But I didn't think about getting shot or losing my life. And that's what a lot of people have to think about. Everything that you do in life, there has a consequence that sometimes beyond what you actually calculate. So we have to think about various things that God will do for us to make wise and better decisions. But also what we gotta do is, God always forewarned us and let us know He gave us a spiritual alertness. And a lot of times what we gotta do, we gotta realize even what the Bible is about to tell us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of our spirit. That's the house.
That's
don't
right.
You know those that are saved? You have God living within you.
That's right. That's right.
God being the Holy Ghost. You have Him living inside of you. That's the reason why if you do something, sometimes we do something and we know we're not supposed to, we try to hide and it seems like we always expose.
Right.
I went to a don't get mad at me. But years ago, I went to a sex shop. I walked in there. I went to the counter. I didn't know where I was at, but I realized I was there. So I looked. Oh my! So I went to the counter and I asked the lady a question. And the lady behind the counter said, "You don't belong here, girl." I did thank you and walked out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Why was that? Because she was able to see how uncomfortable I was.
Right.
Even just, now this is me. There are certain places I don't go. I'm very particular.
Right.
If I know that some places don't agree with my spirit, I ain't going.
That's right.
That's me. And I realize, I don't care who it is. I'm man enough to tell you that I'm not risking not just my salvation, I ain't risking my life.
Right.
But that's the stance we gotta make.
Right.
Because don't you know a lot of times the devil is setting us up? And a lot of times we in places and we know we're not supposed to, but we're doing it because we trust the wrong people. We put our trust in the people that really not mature.
Right.
We trust in people that don't even, not even concerned about your salvation or their salvation. But also, it's not just being clear to salvation, but sometimes the strongholds that used to grab us. If I know that I was an alcoholic and God delivered me from that, but then I have a best friend that always likes to go to the bar, I don't need to go with him if he want to meet me at the bar.
Right.
If he really concerned about me, then he would go somewhere else if not the bar.
That's right.
But if he just would say, man, it ain't gonna hurt, man, you ain't gonna drink nothing. No, but look at the atmosphere.
That's right.
Like I said earlier, look at Lot's wife. Why does she look back? Because she was leaving something that she really didn't want to leave.
That's right.
She was comfortable in that environment.
Right.
And now, because she was comfortable in that environment, she's that statue to remind people not only to not disobey God, but also sometimes what you're attracted to can lead you to your downfall.
Yes.
Ouch. It's being real. So we got to think about, we can't grieve the Holy Spirit. God is going to always forewarn us. He's going to forewarn us things before we physically go there or say something or do something. Have you ever dealt with somebody and they made you so upset and God forewarns you, hey, look, watch what you say. Yeah. Well, anyway, blah, 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 blah.
and you say something that you can't take back.
That's right.
God will already forewarn you. Hey. Because every time you're maturing and growing to God, God will always slow the scene down, slow enough for you to make a decision. You're going to go through it or not. I always hear the analogy. Have you ever got ready to go somewhere and you get this eerie feeling that you don't need to be there? But you're like, well, I'm going to go ahead and go anyway. And then all of a sudden, it was exactly the way that you felt before you physically made it there.
Yeah.
Because your spirit man connected with the spirit that was in the atmosphere before you physically made it. So, how do we break that? One of the things we have to think about, the importance of fasting. Fasting and prayer, it breaks strongholds.
Yes.
Now, when you want to feed your physical body, you eat physical food.
Right.
You eat and you exercise, you get stronger. Where for you to exercise your spirit, man, you push the food back, the physical food, and you get to the Word of God.
That's right.
You eat His Word by reading it, studying it, reciting it, hearing it, let yourself hear it, but then also you center yourself around people. You create an atmosphere where that will even help you to be responsible or accountable to maintain obedience to God. Fasting breaks strongholds. Fasting breaks struggles. But I found out a lot of times with the fasting, don't you know, with the fasting, God is going to show you not other people. He's going to show you you.
That's right.
He's going to show you you, and He's going to show you your identity. And also with that fasting, a lot of times there may be things that God may show you to make you realize that you need to repent. You need to forgive. Right? Forgive. But along with that, God will show you how to become stronger in Him. I want to read Ephesians 4:22-24 from the Amplified. It says, strip yourself of your former nature. Put off discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, and become corrupt through lust and desire that spring from delusion. Now, 23, and be constantly renewed in the mind, the spirit of the mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the rejuvenated self created in God's image, likeness in true righteousness and holiness.
Right.
Be renewed your mind.
Right.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
The word transform is the word that means metamorphosis.
That's right.
And the word metamorphosis has nothing to do with time.
No.
Nothing. It has to do with something right here called your will.
That's right.
Your will. In other words, how bad do you want it? This is the distance right here between here and the door. It can take me 2 seconds. It can take me 5 minutes to get there. But it's still the same distance.
Right.
Same thing pertaining to what God has and want us to do. But I want to encourage each and every one. There are things and choices that we have to make every day in life. And the devil is trying so badly to make us step outside of God's will. And along with stepping outside of God's will, when you're obedient to God, don't you know one of the biggest things that the devil will try to do is link you up with people that are unlike God.
That's right.
And it's not just pertaining to courtship, which I like to make sure that we talk about courtship, because to be honest with you, a lot of times that's the main thing that be on our heart when we're single. Let's be real, when we're single. But also, God is concerned about your singleness.
Yes, He is.
He's concerned about it, but we have to understand not only how to be single, but how to look for the right one.
Right.
Because the devil want to make sure to discredit you and also make you derailed from the purpose and plan that God has for you. Ain't nothing savage than for a perfectly good girl or good guy that grow up in church, obeying faithful to church, and they end up linking themselves to someone that's outside of the church. And I know a lot of times we hear it in the Bible, you know, we heard, you know, sanctify wife, sanctify love. We heard that, right? But that doesn't mean that you marry somebody outside of God.
That's right.
During that time, there were people that were not saved, but they were married. One got saved first.
Right.
And when someone got saved first, that doesn't mean that you abandoned your spouse.
That's right.
Now, if somebody want to leave, that's them.
That was it.
But if somebody want to stay, even I just got saved. We were married. I just got saved. But now my wife, she don't want to give up her alcohol. Do I throw it out? No. Leave it there. That's my wife. That's not only my house, but that's her house too. But what I do, because of my love and my prayers, I continue to be that good husband for her. And my love will possibly win her over.
That's right. That's right.
But I'm not, the Bible says, if blah, 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 who's wrong? It ain't her, it's you. Because you're trying to enforce your will upon her.
Right,
right.
Now, that's a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And you still say. But when it comes down to relationship or even dating, we have to be wise.
Amen.
How many singles in here? Okay, thank God for you. I want each and every one that are single, when you get home, I want you to write down everything that God told you in your relationship with God. See yourself, and you talk about, you write down to God how much you want him. You talk about how you see yourself in God, what type of relationship that y'all want, you and God. You write that down. And then you get a separate sheet of paper. And you write down the same thing, but this time you don't put your name.
God.
You put your future spouse. Because God wants you to be with somebody that's compatible. God wants you to be with someone where y'all can be together and praise and magnify God. Even in marriage, even in courtship. Listen, in courtship. God wants you to be where you can be able to talk and have fun and sex ain't involved.
That's right.
What's going to happen when you get sex involved? Let's be real. When you get sex involved, what happens, it messes up you emotionally. Now you have become distorted with your thinking. Because now you're emotionally attached. But God wants you, God wants you to be wise and understand to see the whole picture of that person. The devil only wants you to see the front part. God wants you to see the picture, the frame, and the atmosphere. Because you as God's child, you are spiritually God's child, and your spiritual father is God. But the devil got somebody in mind for you. The devil got a counterfeit for you. And one thing I always realize, before God reveals the real thing, the devil will always send an invitation. And what's going to happen when the devil brings that invitation? His spiritual father ain't God. His spiritual father is the devil. And if you get linked up with him, and your spiritual father is God, and his spiritual father is the devil, that means y'all get together. That means your spiritual father-in-law is the devil. And you're going to breed children, spiritual children, and it's going to be a struggle.
Yes.
I found out the Bible says, when God gives a gift, he adds no sorrow. Anytime there's a struggle, in other words, you're going against nature. If I hold my urine and I go to the bathroom all day, what's going to happen?
Strain
and also infection.
That's right.
And infection reveals there's some type of virus, some type of bacteria.
Right.
And there's some spiritual bacteria within some people's relationships. But God want to what? Give you the right antidote for that.
Right.
He want to give you a spiritual antibiotic for you to realize, you know what? You're more valuable. You don't have to put up with that mess. That's mess. That was something that I did not assign for you. There are so many people that have assignments that God did not ordain.
Right.
So many people that God have people coming to you, but because of impatience or because of sometimes hurt, because of us, we don't wanna wait. We end up selling for less than what God has for us. But for those who are sick and tired of it, this is the time for you to come to the
altar.
Like I said earlier, we gotta leave what we love. Now, I didn't say love pertains to, you know, leave your husband and stuff. No. We talking about love within the flesh.
Right.
What your fleshly love is hindering you from your relationship with God and the things that God has for you. And for those who may not be saved, understand that Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. And we all have access to receive him as Lord and Savior in our life. Romans 10:9 tells us that thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and believe in the heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. One of the key verses in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The key word is love. That's great, but think about the word for that. God so loved the world. God so loved you that he has your plan, your purpose already made out of life. All you have to do is seek him. When you seek him and obey him, then he will order your steps. I want each and every one of us to pray. You remain seated if you come to the altar or whatever. We're going to pray. So I like to make sure, because there are many people who may be watching who may not be able to come to church. There are some people that are looking for a church home, and I don't want to omit prayer. But for those who have issues, for those who have things that struggles, I want to tell you, God can deliver and set you free from any and everything.
Okay.
I'm telling you from personal experience. Pornography. I'm talking about dealing with low self-esteem. I'm talking about dealing with insecurities. You're a boy. You're a man. Yeah. Men deal with that too.
That's right. That's right.
Spirits have no gender. So we have to understand, you see me now, that's why I don't care if it's here or over here or whatever. Whatever I do, I'm grateful. It's a privilege to be where I am at spiritually and mentally right now. Because there are a lot of people, they will cut off their left toenail to be where I am. And I thank God, I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody. No, indeed. But I feel like nobody better than me. And I'm telling you, the same God that helped you to be able to look in the mirror, because I hated looking in the mirror. I tell people, I hated looking in the mirror. I used to hear everything that people used to say to me, and I took it in. I've been called ugly Douglas. I've been calling other words. And I took it personal. I received the negativity that people said, but I rejected the positive things that people said. Dealing with someone and looking for love in all the wrong places. That was me. But when I realized who I was in God, I realized how much he loved me. And when I realized how much he loved me, I realized how much I was shortchanging myself. But in order for me to really understand how I was shortchanging myself, I had to get to his word, get to his presence. And when I got to his presence, then it helped me realize that God has sent me a presence too. So I want each and every one of us to pray. And we're going to hold up. If you don't have anything going on in your life, nothing wrong with you, then amen. God bless you. But we're going to intercede for those who may be struggling, dealing with something. There are people that are dealing with silent struggles. There are so many things that people are dealing with mentally, emotionally. Like I said, pornography is one of the biggest addictions that people don't talk about within the church. Because if I'm struggling with alcoholism or drugs, you can see me in bed. I might be coming to smelling like alcohol or whatever. But pornography, I just sit right here with the Bible in my hand. You don't know what's going on right into my mouth.
That's right.
There are people that are dealing with, and I'm going to tell you something. There are people that want help, but they don't know who to go to because they don't trust anybody.
That's right.
Even within the church.
Because
a lot of people are brought up in our church. Let's be real. But we, right here, there are people that God will be bringing, not just to this church, but church as a whole. There are people that God is bringing to the body of Christ that we are supposed to be here to help and equip, to minister to them, to help them understand who God is. And God wants to be equipped. The Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, God. Thank you all for your offering. We come to you right now, God. We acknowledge your presence on today. God, we come to you right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for being here right now, God, causing our right mind, giving us our life, health, and strength. God, we ask you to forgive us, God, if anything that's unlike you, God, forgive us and cleanse us and make a whole right now, God. God, if anything that's hindering us in our relationship with you, God, deliver us, break every yoke, God, break the strong man, every stronghold right now, God. Break it, God. We yield ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves to you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, there are some that are dealing with, God, different things, God, mentally, emotionally, God. There are many addictions that people are maybe dealing with, God. God, we speak, God, give them the strength, God. Give them the courage, God, to give everything to you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, help them to understand, God, that there is nothing too hard for you right now, God. Help your people to understand, God, if they give themselves over to you, God, you can prepare everything, God. God, help us to understand, God, we don't have to wait, God, for us to get right, God. You want us to come as we are right now, God. So we come to you right now, God. We come to you right now broken. We come to you right now shattered. We come to you right now, God, even with the fragments that we have in our hands, God. God, we come to you right now, God, the best way we know how, God. We come to you right now, God, asking God to prepare us and cleanse us, God, and make us whole right now. In the name of Jesus, and say about everything you stand for. We bind every problem. We bind every confusion right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for deliverance and victory right now, God. We thank you for the joy, for the salvation you have given us, God. God, we speak, God, that you center us around people, God, that's going to speak life to us, God. Your word to us. Hold us accountable, God. Help us, God, to center us around people, God, that are proclaiming your word, God, but most importantly, living your word right now, God. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, we speak, God, it is everything that can detach us from you, God. Move it out of our way, God. Take the taste of it out of our mouth, God. Take that will, take that desire out of our heart right now, God. Even if you hurt our heart, God, God, we know, God, that you know what's best for us, God. So help us, God, to trust, God, that you have our best interest in heart right now, God. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for this joy, God. We thank you, Lord, for everything, God. We thank you, Lord, for renewing our minds, God. We thank you for it right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, everything you're going to do, and thank you, Lord, for helping us to fulfill the purpose and plan that you have for us right now, God. In Jesus' name we pray, we say amen, amen, amen.